بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: فعلى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. وقال جل جلاله: ولقد نصركم الله البدر وأنتم أذلة. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لعل الله اطلع إلى أهل بدر فقال: اعملوا ما شئتم فقد وجبت لكم الجنة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لن يدخل النار أحد شهد بدر. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness upon us. Allah ta'ala has allowed us, given us life to witness this blessed month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, the most important part of Ramadan, the highlight of Ramadan, is still coming. There is the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, regarding the virtues of these days, the many aspects of Laylatul Qadr, I'tikaf, we have heard from our ulama ikram already. And inshallah, we will hear from our ulama ikram in the coming days, inshallah. The month of Ramadan, as we have heard in the Friday Bayan, the month of Ramadan is a month where Allah Ta'ala has given great victories to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was in the month of Ramadan that the Battle of Badr took place. In the month of Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah Sharif. These two are probably the greatest victories in Islam, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's greatest victories. In the month of Ramadan, the Battle of Qadisiyah, the Battle of Hittin, the Mongols were defeated by the Muslim armies, and many other victories Allah Ta'ala had given to the Muslims in the month of Ramadan. And today I wish to discuss one of these battles, probably the most famous battle in Islam, and that is the Battle of Badr. Alhamdulillah, we may have heard about the Battle of Badr, but many of us won't know the full details and the other issues pertaining to the Battle of Badr. So inshallah, maybe today, Sunday afternoon, a bit light, not too much of nasiha or advices, but maybe just some history about our deen and about Islam, about the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this also, there's a great lesson. Quran Sharif says, "Mukulla naqussu alayka min anba'i rusuli ma nuthabbitu bihi fu'ada." That all the stories of anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, there is great lessons, and there is something for you to strengthen your heart, to give you some sort of confidence. Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna rahmatullah mentioned that عِنْدَ ذِكْرِ الصَّالِحِينَ تَنْزِلُ رَحْمَةٌ. Then people are sitting and discussing and talking about pious people, then at that time Allah Ta'ala's special mercies descend. So when we are sitting and talking about the most pious of pious people, that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his pious companions, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, so of course Allah Ta'ala's mercies will descend at that time. So the Battle of Badr, regarding the background, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, brought up in Makkah Mukarrama, and he spent most of his life there, and then he became a prophet. And after becoming a prophet, he spent approximately 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama. And in this time, he gave da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, called the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was heavily persecuted by his people, the Quraysh, heavily persecuted by them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. And all this while in Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not given any permission by Allah Ta'ala to retaliate, to fight back against the kuffar, against the disbelievers. And then after some time, when the persecution became too much, then Allah Ta'ala instructed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba to now migrate to Madinah Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinah Munawwara, and a short while after being in Madinah Munawwara, Allah Ta'ala revealed the verses, "Udhina lil-ladhina yuqataluna bi-annahum dhulimu." That now permission has been given to the believers to fight back and to retaliate and to wage war and make jihad against the disbelievers. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now began his military campaigns. Now there are two words we will hear in Arabic. One is called ghazwa and one is sariya. Both these words in Arabic mean a military expedition or a military campaign. But the ulama have now given a more technical meaning. They say that ghazwa refers to a military campaign wherein Nabi Sallam had taken part. So Nabi Sallam went out with the army, it's called a ghazwa. And Nabi Sallam didn't take part himself, physically take part, but he sent out some sahaba under the leadership of one of the sahaba, then that is called a sariya. So Nabi Sallam got the permission now to fight. So Nabi Sallam had sent out, he had gone out in few ghazawat, a few military campaigns, and he had sent out a few sahaba on certain campaigns. In total, approximately 8 ghazawat and sariyas had taken place before the Battle of Badr. And in these ghazwas, these military campaigns prior to the Battle of Badr, there was nothing notable that had taken place. A few skirmishes, many times the army went out, did not engage the enemy, and they returned to Medina Munawwara. And then in the second year, after the hijrah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Ramadan, a caravan of the Quraysh, Quraysh were the people of Makkah, the disbelievers at that time, had traveled to Sham, a very, very large caravan, wherein most of the people of Makkah had invested money in. They say that the caravan was worth 50,000 dinars. 50,000 dinars, 50,000 gold coins. I was doing some calculation this morning, and if my calculations are correct, then this is approximately in our day's value, 125 million rands. 125 million rands. So all the people of Quraysh, many of the people of Makkah, this village of Makkah, had invested their money in this caravan. So the caravan had now, was in Makkah in the south, they now proceeded north, going past Medina Munawwara, and then they go to Sham. Sham was the areas, nowadays, areas of Jordan, Palestine, Syria, these areas. And now this caravan was returning with all the stock that they had purchased, returning to Makkah Mukarrama. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that now this very, very large caravan carrying a lot of wealth of the Quraysh is now returning from Sham, and they will be passing by Medina Munawwara, but away from Medina will be passing by. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got this information, immediately he told Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala that immediately we have to leave. Without any delay, we have to leave. And he mentioned that such haste there was in leaving, that even those Sahaba who had their animals in the Awali are the upper regions of Medina Munawwara. If you look at the green dome going front, not the back area of the Haram, but the front area of the Haram, Medina Munawwara going front, going towards the area of Quba, those are known as the Awali, the upper regions of Medina Munawwara. So those Sahaba who had their animals, conveyances in the Awali areas, they did not even allow them to go to get the animals. He said, we have to leave immediately. So they left very, very in a haste, very, very quickly. They only had 2 horses and 70 camels. Approximately 300 of the Sahaba of Nabi Sallam accompanied him. They proceeded. And they didn't expect to engage in full-scale war. They thought we were only going to intercept a caravan. Maybe there were approximately 50 people in a caravan under the leadership of Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim at the time. He was leading the Quraysh caravan. So we just have to intercept them. We don't need many. We have numbers. We don't need a lot of equipment. We don't need many animals. We will intercept the caravan and then we return to Medina Munawwara. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now proceeded with this army of approximately 300 of them. Nabi sallam proceeded until he came to a place just outside Medina Munawwara known as Bi'ru Abi Inaba. And here Nabi sallam now did a visual inspection of his army. And all those sahaba who were too young to take part in his expedition, Nabi sallam sent them back to Medina Munawwara. There's one sahabi, Umayr bin Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala. He is the brother of the more famous sahabi, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala. So Umayr bin Abi Waqqas at that time was only 16 years old. And Nabi Sallam also wanted to send him back to Medina Munawwara. He began to cry and he began to insist that, oh Allah's Nabi, I want to go along in this battle. So Nabi Sallam permitted him. And subhanAllah, we will understand later on, he was also martyred in the Battle of Badr. So now Nabi Sallam proceeded. He left Bi'ru Abi Inaba and now he came to a place called Roha. Roha. At Roha, Nabi Sallam did 2 things. One is he sent Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu back to Medina Munawwara as his deputy to rule over, to take charge of Medina Munawwara in the absence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also sent his son-in-law, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, back to Medina Munawwara because his wife, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of Nabi sallam, was very, very sick. So he sent him back to Medina Munawwara to tend to his ailing daughter of Nabi Sallam, the sick wife of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Nabi Sallam proceeded a bit further until he came to a place called Safra. When he came to a place called Safra, then he sent 2 spies, 2 scouts ahead. One's name was Bas bin Amr, and the other's name was Adi bin Abi Zaghba. He sent these 2 sahaba ahead to go and spy and try to gather information about the Qurayshi caravan that is now returning from Sham. So these 2 sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, they now proceeded and they went. And then they came to a place close to Badr, a watering hole, a place where people would come and give the, while they were traveling, give the animals water to drink. And they stopped over there. Whilst they were there, in fact, their mission now was to gather information. So they were spying and they were listening, overhearing conversations. So they heard two ladies speaking. One was demanding money from the other, that you owe me money, pay me back my money. So this lady said that that caravan of the Quraysh will be here in a day or two. So when that caravan comes, I will do some job for them, maybe clean up, wash their clothes, whatever it is. I will do some work for them. I'll get payment from them, and then I will give you back your money. So when these two Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, heard this, so they got the information that they're looking for. So immediately they left from there, and they now returned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And told Nabi sallam what's going to happen, that the caravan will be arriving there in a few days' time, in a day or two. A short while later, Abu Sufyan, who was the leader of the caravan of the Quraysh, he was also trying to gather some information, because he knew that the Muslim army are probably going to be after us, because when they were going to Sham, the Muslim army also tried to intercept them, but they had failed. So they knew that on our way back also we probably might have the force. He was also trying to gather some information. So he came to the same place where these two spies of Nabi Sallam had been. And he found one person there, his name was Mujadda. He found him, they asked him, did you see anything peculiar, anything strange happening here? He said, nothing out of the normal. I did see two people coming, two riders coming, but nothing abnormal. They came, they went to that watering hole there, they gave their animals water to drink, and then they proceeded. So Abu Sufyan, this is how clever and wise and intelligent Arabs were. He went to that watering hole, he found the droppings of the camels there. He picked up these droppings and he broke it. And in the droppings he found date seeds. So he said, these date seeds are the date seeds of Medina Munawwara. That means the Muslims are hot on our heels. So immediately he went back to his caravan, and now he diverted the route of his caravan. And also he hired a messenger, Dhamdham bin Amr al-Ghifari. He hired him that now rush off to Makkah Mukarramah and tell the people of Makkah Mukarramah, our tribe, the Quraysh, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his army are after us, so immediately they must dispatch an army from Makkah Mukarramah to come and try to save this caravan of the Quraysh and save their wealth that is in this caravan. So Dhamdham bin Amr al-Ghifari now goes to Makkah Mukarramah. Meanwhile, in these days, in Makkah Mukarramah, the auntie of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Atika radiallahu ta'ala anha, who later accepted Islam, she had a dream, a very, very strange and frightening dream. In her dream, she saw that a person had come on a camel, and he had made an announcement that, oh you wretched people, rush off to your places of death within 3 days. Oh you wretched people, rush off to your places of death within 3 days. He made his announcement in the area of Batha of Makkah, and then he came into the Haram. She's seeing this in the dream. Then he came to the Haram Sharif, and there again he made the very same announcement. And then he ascended, in the dream she saw, he ascended, he went up Jabal Abi Qubais. Jabal Abi Qubais is the mountain next to the Haram where the king's palace is. He ascended that mountain, and from there he threw a very, very big boulder down. And when that boulder hit the ground, it broke into many, many pieces. And every house, or a piece of that rock, reached every house from the houses of the people of Makkah. This was to signify that a great calamity is going to befall every household of Makkah. So she had this dream. It worried her, so she told this to her brother, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, that I saw this dream, I'm worried that something bad is going to happen. So she told it to her brother, she told her brother that do not tell this to anyone. But he let it slip out, he told it to another person, Walid bin Utba, and then the news got out. Until he reached Abu Jahl. So Abu Jahl, a few days later, you saw Abbas radiallahu ta'ala coming to the Haram Sharif, coming to the masjid. So he commented, he said, Abbas, please come here, Abul Fadl, please come here, I have something to ask you. That all this time, the men, or a man from your family was claiming Nubuwwat, referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now it seems that the ladies are also getting prophethood. Now your sister had this dream. So they began arguing one another. Whilst they were arguing, that messenger of Abu Sufyan, Dhamdham bin Amr al-Ghifari, he had come with a message. At that time, the Arabs, if they wanted to send a very, very important and serious message to their tribe or their people, then they will dramatize it. So what they will do, they will cut off the nose of their camel. And they will tear their clothing. And they will come into that area screaming and shouting. So Dhamdham bin Amr al-Ghifari came with, in the same way, he cut off the nose of his camel, he tore his clothing, and came there bellowing and screaming. That, oh people of Makkah, rush and save your caravan. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his people are one to attack your caravan. So immediately the people of the Quraysh got prepared for war. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala left Medina Munawwara unprepared for war. They left to intercept the caravan. The people of Quraysh, they left for full-scale war. So they got prepared, approximately 1,000 soldiers, all the notable people, all the chiefs of Makkah Mukarrama had also joined this expedition. Amongst them Abu Jahl, Walid bin Utba, Shayba, Utba. The only notable person to stay behind was Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was worried about the dream that he had heard from his sister, so he was worried that something bad may happen. So he was scared to go out. So what he did was, there was a person by name of Amr bin Hisham who owed him 4,000 silver coins. So he told him, okay, you go out on my behalf and I will wipe off the debt. So the person agreed. So Abu Lahab stayed behind and all the others went out. There were a certain other Qurayshi chiefs who were reluctant to go out. But Abu Jahl, he went to them and he began to tease them and mock them that you are like a woman and you don't want to go out. And he began to incite them. So they also left and now they went out. Approximately 1,000 of the Quraysh, people of the Quraysh had now proceeded. Along the way, certain things happened. One was that Abu Sufyan had now managed to divert the caravan, and he managed to save the caravan. He moved from an inland route, he went towards the coastal route, and then he managed to save the caravan, and now he arrived in Makkah Mukarrama. So he sent a message to the army that you had left Makkah Mukarrama to come and save this caravan. This caravan has reached Makkah Mukarrama safely now, so don't proceed any further. Return to Makkah Mukarrama. What's the use going to fight when we are not facing any harm? So Abu Jahl, his stubbornness, all along this battle of Badr, we will see the stubbornness of Abu Jahl. So his stubbornness again prompted him to say that never, we are not going to return to Makkah Mukarrama. Rather, we are going to proceed, and they are taken along with them wine and dancing women, singing women, musical instruments. So he said that we are going to proceed to Badr, we are going to go there, we are going to crush the Muslim army, we are going to stay there for 3 days and make merriment. We will drink wine, we will get our slave girls to sing for us, to dance for us, and then the Arabs, all the other Arab tribes will know that who is the real superpower in the Arabian Peninsula, the Quraysh, we are the superpower, and then we will return to Makkah Mukarrama. So Abu Jahl refused and he did not allow the army to return. Whilst the army was proceeding as well, they came to an area called Juhfa. At Juhfa, there was a person in the Kufar army by the name of Juhaym bin Salt. He had a dream. In this dream, he saw a person came to the Kufar army, and his camel took a knife and he poked the neck of his camel. And now this camel, in his dream he saw all this camel began running amongst the tents of the Quraysh. And every tent that he passed, drops of blood spurted into the tent. Again, this was to signify that some calamity is going to come to the army. And this person in his dream, he also saw that this rider of this camel was making an announcement that, oh Abu Jahl, he made an announcement that Abu Jahl has been slain, and Utbah has been slain, Walid has been slain, and so has been slain, taking all the names of the chiefs of the Quraysh. So when Abu Jahl again, when he heard this dream, he became enraged. And he says, it's only a dream. And these people amongst the Banu Hashim, they seem to be, all them seem to be claiming prophethood now. We will proceed and we will go and crush the Muslim army. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left Medina Munawwara on the 12th of Ramadan, the second year after Hijrah. As he was going, he now got information that the caravan has now gone and safely reached Makkah Mukarrama. And now instead of facing that caravan, you are going to face this large army of the Quraysh. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they had left ill-equipped, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now in mashwara with his sahaba, that should we proceed and engage this army in battle, or should we return to Medina Munawwara? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadhrat Miqdah bin Aswad stood up, he gave very, very valiant, very, very encouraging speech. He said, O Allah's Nabi, we will not say to you like how the Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, When Allah Ta'ala instructed Musa alayhi salam to go and fight a very formidable army, then the Bani Israel said, "Idhhab anta rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun." Allah's Nabi, they told Musa, he said, "You go and fight, or Musa, you and your Lord go fight, we are sitting behind." Rather, Allah's Nabi, we will not say the same thing. Rather, Allah's Nabi, you and Allah go and fight, we are right behind you, we are with you. So Miqdad bin Aswad gave his mashwara, I think we should go ahead and fight. Likewise, other Sahaba spoke. But Nabi Sallam really, in this mashwara, he wanted the opinion of the Ansar, the Muslims of Medina Munawara. Because when Nabi Sallam migrated to Medina Munawara, the agreement with the people of Medina, the Ansar, was that they will protect Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as long as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is within the boundaries of Medina Munawara. Outside Medina Munawara, they have no obligation to fight or defend Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam really wanted the opinion of the people of Ansar. So two Ansari Sahaba, Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, two notable people amongst the Ansar, they stood up. And they again gave very, very valiant speeches. And they promised to help Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam right through the battle. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was encouraged by this. He became very, very happy. And he said that Allah Ta'ala, this ayat, Allah Ta'ala speaks of it in the 9th and the 10th juz of the Quran, Surah Anfal. Allah Ta'ala speaks of these verses of Badr. وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ. Allah's Nabi said that Allah Ta'ala had promised me that I will capture one of the two groups. I will defeat one or two groups. Either I'll defeat the caravan of Abu Sufyan, or either I will defeat the army of Abu Jahl. The caravan has now slipped away and reached Makkah Mukarramah safely. Allah's promise is true. Allah Ta'ala will make us defeat this army. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now proceeded to the battle, to the plains of Badr, the area of Badr. Badr is an area approximately 160 kilometers from Medina Munawwara. I'm sure many people maybe have visited this area. Allah Ta'ala take us all there. So they came to Battle of Badr. When Nabi Sallallahu came to the plains of Badr, the area of Badr, he found that the Muslim army, the Kafir army, the army of Quraysh had already arrived there and they already camped there. And they had camped at the better part of Badr, the better area of Badr. It is better because all the water supply of Badr was in that area. And secondly, the terrain was better, easier to maneuver on that terrain. Allah Ta'ala speaks of this also in the Quran Sharif, Udwatul Qusra, Udwatul Dunya. The Nabi Sallam was in an area of Badr that is closer to Medina Munawwara, and the Kufar army was in that part of Badr that is closer to Makkah Mukarramah, or the part that is further from Medina Munawwara. So Nabi Sallam was in difficult terrain. There was no water supply, plus the terrain was very, very difficult, very, very loose sand, like how maybe we have beach sand, very hard for the person to maneuver, to walk, tiring to walk on. So Nabi Sallam was on that kind of area. On that night, the night before the battle, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did a few things happened. Number one was, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, under the advice of, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh had given this mashara that a thatched roof, or like a small shelter, be erected for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on a hill overlooking the battlefield. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to stay put in there, and he must overlook, make dua there and overlook the battlefield. So that was erected for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another thing that happened was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the Sahaba on a tour of the battlefield. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed out to the Sahaba that at this spot here, Abu Jahl will die. At this spot, Utba will die. At this spot, Shayba will die. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu narrated this to Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. And they say, exactly as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had pointed to the exact spot, not an inch less, not an inch more, the people, these very same people died in this very same spot. So this was a prophecy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that night, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sent out a few Sahaba, Hazrat Zubayr bin Awam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Waqqas, to go and try to gather some information, some spy on the Qurayshi army. So they captured two slaves that belonged to the army, that were not coming to fight, but merely they had come only to serve the Qurayshi army. So they brought them to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi at that time was engaged in Salah. So these Sahaba began to interrogate the slaves, that are you part of this army, or are you part of the caravan of Abu Sufyan? So they said, no, we're not part of the caravan of Abu Sufyan, that caravan has reached Makkah Mukarramah, we are slaves that have come to serve the army of the Quraysh. So this Sahaba said that you are lying, and they began to beat them up. That you are lying, you are not part of this army, you are not servants of this army, rather you are part of the caravan of Abu Sufyan. And then the slaves, they said, okay, since you're beating us, we are part of that caravan of Abu Sufyan. When Nabi Sallam completed the Salah, he said that when they were speaking the truth, you began to beat them up. But when they spoke lies and they said the path of the caravan of Abu Sufyan, then you left him. These slaves are not speaking lies. They really are only slaves of the army of the Quraysh. They are not part of the caravan of Abu Sufyan. So the Muslim began to interrogate them. He asked them that, what are the numbers of the, or who is part of the army? So they began to name all the prominent and all the chiefs of the people of Quraysh. So Nabi Yusuf was impressed with this lineup that today Makkah has sent forth all his most notable people. And Nabi Yusuf asked them about the numbers of the Quraysh. So they said, they are very, very large in number. They are very, very large in number. We do not know exact numbers. So Nabi Yusuf said, tell me that daily how many camels do they slaughter to serve meals to the army? So they said, one day they slaughtered 9 camels and one day they slaughtered 10 camels. So Nabi Sam said they approximately between 900 to 1,000 people. And really, the Quraysh army was approximately 900 to 1,000 people. So this all has happened on the night of, this happened on the night of Badr. Another thing happened on the night as well was that Allah Ta'ala, through His mercy upon the army of the Muslims, sent down rain that night. And this did two things for the Muslims. Number one is that now they were in that area, there was no water supply. So the Sahaba managed to pool and make a few pools to save water that they could drink from and give the animals water to drink. And secondly, is that now that rough, that sand, that loose sand had now become a bit firm, like how we have on our beach as well, that part of the beach sand where the water flows onto, you see it becomes a bit compact and easy for a person to now walk upon. So likewise, Allah Ta'ala sent down rain as mercy for the believers. They had now water to drink. And now the terrain became a bit easier for them to maneuver themselves upon. And Nabi Sam that night, although it was a very, very frightful time for the Sahaba, that tomorrow we're going to meet this very, very large army, we ill-equipped, they well-equipped, and many other things. But Allah's mercy again upon the Muslim, Allah Ta'ala sent down a lot of peace, sukoon, rahat upon the Muslim army, and all of them had a very, very peaceful sleep, except Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallam spent the entire night awake, crying and imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah ta'ala, if tomorrow this army is defeated, then you will not be worshipped on the earth anymore. Because a large part of the Muslim army would have been defeated, and now it will be very easy for the remaining Muslims to be defeated. So Allah, please give us help. Allah's Nabi continued to make dua the entire night until the time Fajr came. They said, now woke up the army for Fajr. And after Fajr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now give targhib, encouragement to the Muslim army to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he spoke to them about the great virtues of becoming a shaheed and becoming martyr in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, now they came to the battlefield. The two armies came into view of one another. Regarding this, Allah ta'ala says that prior to the battle, this also referred to in the 10th part of the Holy Quran, that prior to the battle, Allah ta'ala showed the Muslim army to be very, very small in the eyes of the kuffar. So the kuffar look at the Muslim army, they said it's a very, very small army. And likewise, Allah Ta'ala showed the kuffar army to be very, very small in the eyes of the Muslim. So both armies appeared small to one another. The reason for this is why Allah Ta'ala made the kuffar army seem small to the Sahaba. One Sahabi narrates, he said they seem so small in number that we doubted that we were even 100 in number. We doubted that the Quraysh were even 100 in number. This is how small Allah Ta'ala made them look in number. So the reason why Allah Ta'ala did this here, to give encouragement to the believers, so that now the believers become encouraged, so that's not such a big task for us. Inshallah, we can fight them and we can defeat them. And why Allah Ta'ala made the Muslim army seem very, very small to the kuffar, so that they become more bold and more stubborn and more brazen. That now we were sure we're going to defeat them, and now they look so small number now, by all means we are definitely going to defeat them. So Allah Ta'ala did this to them. So the two armies came in contact with one another. At that time, it was amongst the Arabs, it was common that before the battle, they would have something called Mubaraza, a duel. So three people from the Quraysh, a duel where few people will come forward and they will challenge people from the other army, the same number of people from the other army. So three people, leaders of the Quraysh, came forward: Utbah, Shayba, and Walid bin Utbah. Three of them came forward, and they told the Muslim army, "They send forth from your army three people to challenge us to fight with us." So Nabi Sam sent three Ansari Sahaba forward. One was Auf bin Harith, one is Mu'awith bin Harith, and one is Abdullah bin Rawaha radiyallahu ta'ala an majma'in. So they came forward. So when these three people of the Quraysh saw them, they asked them, then who are you? They said, we are Rahtum min al-Ansar. We are a group of the Ansar. So they told this, they shouted out, "Oh Muhammad, we have no issues with these Ansari farmers. We have no issue with them. Our fight not with them. We want you to send forth people from our people. Send forth fighters from our people, the Quraysh, those who left Makkah, our own family. We want to fight them." So Nabi Sallam called these three Ansari Sahaba back into the army. And now he called Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Ubaidah bin Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All of them were from the Quraysh. So they came forward. So now these three kuffar said, "Akfa'un kiram." These are suitable opponents. These are the people who want to fight. So they had a duel. So Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu took on Shayba. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu took on Walid bin Utbah. And Hazrat Ubaidah bin Harith took on Utbah. So Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Ali make light work of their enemies. With one strike, they had finished their enemies and dispatched them to hell. Hazrat Ubaidah bin Harith and Utbah, they exchanged blows. Both of them were wounded quite badly. Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Hamza, after they had finished off with their enemies, they came forward and they finished off Utbah. And Ubaidah bin Harith, in this injured state, he was now taken to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was put on the thigh of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he asked Allah's Nabi, "Am I a martyr?" He began to cry, "Am I really a martyr?" Allah's Nabi said, "Yes, you are a martyr, and I bear testimony to this before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He didn't pass away immediately at that time. Later on, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned to Medina after the battle, he passed through the area called Safra. Many years later, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing this area again, and some sahaba said, "Allah's Nabi, we can get a very, very sweet fragrance from this place." Nabi said, "Of course we'll get a sweet fragrance, because the grave of Ubaidah bin Harith, Abu Muawiyah Ubaidah bin Harith, is in this area." So he became a shaykh later on. So after these three had now, these three from the Muslim army and three from the Quraysh engaged in battle. So now the battle had, two armies engaged in battle. Just prior to the battle, Shaytan, Iblis, is also mentioned, ayat of the Quran, same, the 10th para, the second page of the 10th para, mentioned this year. At that time, Iblis appeared just before the battle. He appeared in the form of Suraqah bin Malik, who was a chief of the Mudlij, Bani Mudlij, the Mudlij tribe. So he came with a number of people. He came there and he told the Kufar army that, "I'm here to reinforce you. And don't worry, we are going to go ahead and we are going to fight these Muslims and we are going to defeat them." So he came to reinforce the Iblis, and his army came to reinforce the army of the Quraysh, the Kufar army. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reinforced the Muslim army with the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Sallam Bakr of Badr commented, "Hada Jibra'il, akhidun bi ra'si farasihi, alayhi adatul harb." That this is now Jibreel descending from the heavens, upholding the horse, holding the head of his horse, and upon him he has his weapons of war. So Allah Ta'ala sent down angels to aid and to assist the Muslim army. So Allah Ta'ala first sent down 1,000 angels, then Allah Ta'ala sent down 3,000 angels, and eventually Allah Ta'ala sent down 5,000 angels. All of this is referred to in the fourth part of the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala speaks of this. Allah Ta'ala sent down angels. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala saw the angel that day. Some sahaba said, "We saw angels with white turbans." Some say, "We saw them with black turbans." Some say, "We saw them with yellow turbans." So sahaba radiallahu ta'ala saw the angels on that day. So when Shaytan and his army saw these people, the people he had come with, when he saw the angels descending, immediately he began to run away. And he says, "Inni ara ma la tarawna inni akhafullah." That I can see what you cannot see. I can see the angel descending. I'm very, very frightened. I am now leaving from here. I am running away. So he deserted that army. So Allah Ta'ala sent down the angels to assist the Muslims. Just before, when the battle commenced, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a handful of sand. Quran Sharif, "Wa ma ramayta idh ramayta walakin Allah rama." He took a handful of sand and he threw it in the direction of the kuffar. And he said, "Shahatil wujuh," may the faces be disfigured. Allah Ta'ala made it such, this was the karam, the mu'jizah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, miracle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, That the sand, particles of the sand reach the eyes and throats of every single person in that army. For a moment they became blinded and they began to choke. And because of this, now the Muslim army began to tear into the Kufar army, and as well as the angels. They began to fight, they began to kill people amongst the Quraysh. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu say, on that day we could clearly make out a kafir who was killed by a human being, and a kafir who was killed by an angel. Those who were killed by an angel, clearly they had fire scars. They had burnt marks on their faces, on their bodies, and on their fingertips. Sahaba radiallahu anhu say that in the Battle of Badr, we just had, merely had to chase, put our sight towards one of the kuffar, and chase after him. Before we could even reach him, we find that his neck would be chopped off. This all was now that the angels were assisting the believing army on the, in the Battle of Badr. So it happened that the battle, they took part in the battle, and it happened that 70 of the Quraysh were marked, 70 of the Quraysh were killed. 70 of the Quraysh were killed. All, many, many notable amongst them, approximately 24 of them were very, very high ranking chiefs of the Quraysh. They were killed in the Battle of Badr. And amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Allah ta'ala had accepted 14 of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who became shaheed, who were martyred in the battle, in the Battle of Badr. These are the highest ranking shuhada, martyrs that Islam will ever see. So Allah ta'ala had assisted the believers. 70 of the kuffar were killed, and 70 of the kuffar were taken captive by the Muslims. Amongst the people that were killed was the Fir'aun of this ummah, the tyrant, the pharaoh of this ummah, Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, his name prior to Islam was Abu al-Hakam, the person of great wisdom. He was a very, very high ranking in the person in the Quraysh. But when Nabi Sam was sent with Nubuwat, and Nabi Sam saw his attitude and his stubbornness, so Nabi Sam changed his name to calling Abu Jahl, the person of downright ignorance. So he was also killed in this battle. The riwayat appears in the hadith of Kutub of Hadith, that in the Battle of Badr, Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf says that I was standing in the Battle of Badr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made our ranks, he had made our safs for battle. I was standing between two young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, two Ansari Sahaba. There's a lot of difference of opinion what their names are. So some ulama say the names was Mu'adh bin Afra and Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamu'. So he said, I was standing up between them and the battle was about to engage. When one of the Sahaba tapped me, he asked me, oh, Ya'am, oh my uncle, do you know who Abu Jahl is? Now this youngster was an Ansari Sahabi. He was not from the people of Makkah. He hadn't seen Abu Jahl. He had heard of Abu Jahl, but he hadn't seen him. So Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf, he was a person of Makkah who had made hijrah to Medina. He knew who Abu Jahl was. So he says, oh, my young son, why do you want to know about Abu Jahl? He says, I heard that evil man has tormented Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has reviled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has sworn Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has persecuted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today I made an oath that today either I'm going down or he's going down. Not both of us will not survive today. Either I will die or he will die. He says, Abdurrahman said, I was amazed at the bravery of this youngster. He said, I just finished with him. And the youngster on the other side now taps me. And he said to me the exact same thing. Do you know Abu Jahl and all of it? So he said, as soon as the battle commenced, I saw Abu Jahl. I told these two youngsters that that's the man you're looking for. So the Hadith Sharif says, فَشَدَّ عَلَيْهِ كَالسَّقْرَيْنِ. They swooped upon him like two eagles. And they came and they attacked Abu Jahl and they critically wounded Abu Jahl. And these two Sahaba raced to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, this was Sahaba. They were always looking to please Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Well, as Nabi, we have injured or we have killed Abu Jahl. So Nabi asked, and all them, both of them were arguing amongst themselves. One was saying, I killed him. The other was saying, I killed him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who killed, show me your sword. So they showed their swords to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to make him happy, said, both of you killed him. But really, these two Sahaba had not killed Abu Jahl. They had critically wounded him. After the battle, Nabi Sallam asked Sahaba that who will go into the battlefield amongst the corpses of the Quraysh, see what has happened to Abu Jahl. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Allah said, I'll go and see. So he went amongst now looking at the bodies of the Quraysh, and there he found Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was now in the pangs of death. He was about to pass away. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud took hold of the beard of Abu Jahl and asked him, are you Abu Jahl? Or are you, he called him up by his name. Are you Abu Jahl? So he says, is there anyone more noble than me that you have killed today? Is there anyone more noble than me that you have killed today? So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu now sat on the chest of Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl asked him that what has happened? What is the outcome of the battle? So he says, Allah Ta'ala has given victory to the believers and Allah Ta'ala has disgraced the kuffar. So Abu Jahl said at that time, that tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that today I hate him more than I hated him yesterday. So I was thinking that Allah Ta'ala, the Nabi Sallam referred to the Fir'aun of this ummah. Like how we had the Fir'aun of Musa, we had the Fir'aun of this ummah. But I think he is worse than the Fir'aun of Musa alayhi wa sallam. Because the Fir'aun of Musa, as Quran Sharif says, at the time when he saw his azab coming, He brought iman. I believed in that which the Banu Israel have believed in. He believed at that time, although it was too late for him to accept iman. Allah doesn't accept iman at that time. But at that time, he was still ready to give up and confess his wrong. But the Fir'aun of this ummah, at the time of his impeding death, at that time, still he is stubborn. And Abu Jahl said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I'm going to cut off your head and take your head to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he said, that if you cut off my head, cut off my head as close to my shoulders as possible, so the people will see what a long neck I have. It was a thing amongst the Arabs of that time, that a person, the longer his neck is, the more noble it is. That's why in the hadith it comes, Al-Mu'adhinuna atwalun nasi a'naqan yawm al-qiyamah. That the Mu'adhins will be the people who will have the longest necks on the day of Qiyamah, meaning be the people who will be the most noble people on the day of Qiyamah. So a great virtue for a person to give adhan. So he said, cut off my neck as close to my shoulders as possible. So he cut off the neck of when he sat on his chest, then Abu Jahl commented to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that, oh, you shepherd, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in living in Makkah, he was a shepherd. Oh, you shepherd, you have not mounted a more noble conveyance than you have mounted today. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud cut off his neck and took it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu was very, very pleased, very, very happy. Some riwayat said he fell into sajda. Other riwayat say that he made sajda, he made salah, and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the death of Abu Jahl. After the battle was now complete, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took the 24 notable people of Quraysh that were killed. He took them and he took their bodies and he dumped it in a very, very dirty, polluted well of Badr. Maybe those who have visited, well, they'll point out to you, the well of Badr is known in Arabic as Qalib Badrin, the well of Badr. He dumped their bodies in there. Only body they could not dump in there was the body of Umayyah bin Khalaf. There's an interesting story regarding his death too as well, but we won't go into it now. So his body, when they tried to pick up his body and take out his armor, his body began to disintegrate. So they could not carry his body and put it into the well, so they left him there on the battlefield of Badr. After Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had threw their body into the well, Nabi Sallallahu stayed in Badr, as was his habit, for 3 days, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being grateful to Allah ta'ala for this very, very decisive and great victory that he had bestowed the believers. And before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could leave the battle of Badr, he now came to this well, and he addressed those bodies of the Quraysh, that Allah ta'ala has fulfilled his promise to me. Have your lords fulfilled their promise to you? Oh, my people of Quraysh, you are a very, very evil tribe to me. Allah sent me as a Nabi to you, but you are very, very evil to me. And then Nabi says, now returned and went back to Madinah Munawwara. On the way to Madinah Munawwara, he sent again two Sahaba to give the great news and the happy news to the people of Madinah Munawwara. One was Zayd bin Harithah and the other was Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. These two messengers of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived in Madinah Munawwara just at the time when people had finished burying the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Remember we had discussed earlier, Hazrat Uthman, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him back to look after the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Ruqayyah. When the message came to Madinah Munawwara, so there was emotion, there was sadness and joy at the same time that now the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has just passed away, but also the very, very happy news of the victory of the Muslim army had come. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had captured 70 people amongst the Quraysh. Amongst them, there were three notable people. One was Aqil bin Abi Talib, the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib. One is Abbas, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And one was Abu al-As bin Rabi'. He was the son-in-law of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was married to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the person who captured him was Abu al-Yusr. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was a big, burly person. Very, very huge person he was. And as Abu al-Yusr was an Ansari, he was a very, very tiny, small person. So people asked him, how did you manage, such a small, tiny person, manage to capture and this huge Abbas? So he says that I was going after him, and a person, I hadn't seen him before that, and I didn't see him after that, he came and assisted me, and he apprehended Abbas. Of course, that again was an angel that came to assist him. So they were now brought, the captives were now brought along with the Muslim army to Madinah Munawwara. So when they came to Madinah Munawwara, Nabi made Sahaba, made mashara with Sahaba, that what should we do with these captives? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr and some of them were of the opinion that we should demand ransom, that pay us ransom and then they will be allowed to go. That people of Makkah, each one of them must send some ransom for their family member, will take this money, will use it to uplift Islam and the Muslims, and these people will be returned to Makkah to their people. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu were of the opinion that no, these people should be killed. And Hazrat Umar, we know his mizaj, how he was. What and how they should be killed, that each person should kill his own relative. So Hazrat Ali should go ahead and kill his own brother, Aqil. And this Sahabi should kill his own father. And that Sahabi should kill his own son. Hazrat Umar is this opinion. Of course, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went with the opinion that we'll take ransom from them. Allah Ta'ala works in what hikmat, whatever it was, Allah Ta'ala wanted rather that these people be killed. But after the mashara was made, Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took ransom from them. So the ransom was set anywhere between 1,000 to 4,000 dirhams per person. So some Sahaba approached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that your uncle Abbas, we feel sorry for him, so maybe we'll allow him to go back for free. Nabi said, no way. In fact, I will take the highest ransom from my uncle Abbas. I'll take the highest ransom from him. And he was made to pay the highest ransom amongst the people. And those people who are unable to pay, then those amongst them unable to pay, their ransom was that if anyone knew how to read or write, then he had to teach 10 people amongst Sahaba, 10 youngs amongst Sahaba, how to read and write. And after that, he will be released. So interestingly, one person who learned in this school, in this way, was Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit, radiallahu anhu. Zayd bin Thabit, why is notable? Because he is the most famous katib al-wahi, the most famous scribe of wahi. So he would write down the revelation for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He learned to write from amongst the captives of the Battle of Badr. So Nabi sallam began to release the captives once there, the ransom was paid. We mentioned that Abu al-As bin Rabi, the son-in-law of Nabi sallam, was also amongst the captives. So his wife, the daughter of Nabi sallam, Zainab, she sent a necklace that belonged to her mother, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She sent it to Medina Munawwara, and her mother had given it to her. So she sent it to Medina Munawwara as ransom for her husband, Abu al-As bin Rabi. When Nabi sallam saw this necklace, he began to weep and he began to cry, thinking of his beloved deceased wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So you ask Sahaba, if you permit, I like to send my son-in-law away, back to Makkah Mukarramah, and also send his necklace back. But I make one arrangement with my son-in-law, that he, when he goes back to Makkah Mukarramah, his daughter, Nabi's daughter was a Sahabiya, was a believer of course, he must send back my daughter to me in Medina Munawwara. So this person, Abu al-As bin Rabi, he went to Makkah Mukarramah, and as the arrangement he made, he was very, very, although he was not a Muslim, he was very, very respectful to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He fulfilled his promise. He sent the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Medina Munawwara. And she lived with Nabi sallam for many years. Later on, Abu al-As bin Rabi accepted Islam. And he came to Medina Munawwara. And Nabi sallam again now returned his daughter in the nikah of Abu al-As bin Rabi. So these are certain details of the Battle of Badr. A very, very great victory for Islam and the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to bless the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Look at the sacrifices they made for the sake of Islam, for the sake of deen. And how Allah ta'ala has made Ramadan a month of great victory for the Muslim armies. May Allah ta'ala continue to make it a month of victory for the Muslim armies. May Allah ta'ala give victory to Muslims around the world. Allah give us understanding.